Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the subject of Easter. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as Dr. Wilbert takes a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Children need stuff for school. They don't know how they're going to get their supplies, but they're going to praise God anyhow. Why is that? It's because they got the peace of God. And the Bible says the peace of God, it'll surpass all understanding. See, if you're not saved, you won't understand this. You'll be sitting around there worried about the mortgage, but the person who know Jesus and the pardon of their sin, they start singing, Jesus is going to fix it. That blows your mind. It's that peace. That's a pass. It go past understanding. And the Bible says it'll guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Woo! When Jesus is in the panic room, there's peace. But number two, when Jesus is in the panic room, there's purpose. There's purpose. There's purpose. Look right. I'm coming out the Bible. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so have I sent you. Notice they got purpose. What was missing in these men's life? Purpose. See, they had thought that Jesus was the Messiah. They had made big plans. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah. They thought that he was the King of Kings. They thought that he was the Lord of Lords. They was looking forward to Jesus setting up their kingdom, setting up the kingdom. And they was going to be his administration, part of his cabinet. They was going to be the 12 apostles judging the nation of Israel. But all their dreams was lost. All of their hopes was buried. When Jesus died on the cross, their dream was lost because they done lost the Lord. Their dreams now have been buried with the Lord. Now they was in the panic room not knowing what to do. What you gonna do? I don't know. Should we go back fishing? I don't know. Should I go back to my old job, tax accountant? I don't know. I don't know. I left everything to follow Jesus. What should I do? I don't know. They was confused. They didn't know what to do in life. 10 grown men don't know which way to go. Lost their purpose. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. He shows up, peace give unto thee. As the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. No, y'all ain't gonna be just sitting here wasting your life away. I got a job for you to do. As the Father done sent me, I done my job, now it's time for y'all to do y'all's. I'm finna send you. They had purpose. Listen. What's missing in people's life today? Purpose is missing. You know, when we go to elementary school, one of the first things that the teacher always asks you in elementary school, so what do you want to be in life? Y'all remember that? What do you want to be in life? And so you tell them, you know, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a football player. I want to be a basketball player. I want to be an airline pilot. I want to be a train engineer. You tell them what you want to be in life because you are focusing on purpose. And all through school, you focus on your purpose. You focus on your purpose. You focus on your purpose. Even when you get to 12th grade, they refocus it again. And you focus again on purpose when you get ready to get out. So what you going to be when you get out now? You're getting ready to get your diploma. What you get? Well, I'm going to go on and continue my education. I'm going on to college because I want to be such and such and such. And person say, well, I'm going on to the military because I want to be such and such and such. Person say, I'm going to go on and work with my daddy in his business because I want to be such and such. So you still got purpose. You still got ambition. But can we put the tape in fast forward and let's go 10 years? And you say, I heard that Roscoe was at home. Where is he at? At home. Wait a minute. He's at home. What is he doing? You can stop out of the house. You'll see what he's doing. You go in the house. And Roscoe is sitting there. 28 years old. Playing Nintendo. Playing Madden. 2014. Speed up the tape even a little bit further. And you will see him and his friends sitting there in the same house, behind the same closed doors. Playing domino. Speed it up a little bit further. You'll see them, not only are they playing domino, but now they're drinking some. Speed it up a little bit more. You'll see them smoking some. Speed it up a little bit more. He's sitting in that house with his friends, and they're just wasting their life away. Why are they wasting their life away? They done lost sight. A purpose. And because they done lost sight of purpose, they're just wasting their life away behind closed doors. Oh, but we may not do one of these numbers. We may not do one of these numbers. We may not do one of these numbers. But I find that there are many churchgoers that are in that panic room, and they done put their life on hold. It's just like an airplane. An airplane can be coming in for a landing. He's coming in for a landing, but soon as he get to the airport or get close to the city, because there's a storm down there, the traffic controller tell him you can't land just yet. I'm gonna have to put you on a hold right now. Until it kind of clear up down here, and then I'll bring you in. And so that pilot, he just starts circling and going round and round and round and round and round until it clear up, and then they bring him on in. I find a lot of people in the church, they in a holding pattern. You ask them, what's going on in your life with some excitement? And they say, same old, same old. It's just going round. What's happening? Not much. I just go to work. I come home and go to church. I go to work, come home, and go to church. Same old, same old. Why don't you do something different? Well, it's kind of rough out there right now, so I'm doing, you know, I just got to do my best right now. Now, that was true when they first got started in the holding pattern. But now, God done took away that storm. Now, the storm is over. Now, you can bring it on in for your landing. But they still done got caught up in that holding pattern. What's the problem? They done lost sight of their purpose. And when you're in a holding pattern, all you're doing is wasting time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. But somebody ought to tell somebody, hey, the storm is over. You can land now. Purpose. Purpose. So many Christians have lost sight of purpose. I remember when I first came out here, it looked like my life was in a holding pattern. Went to church, went to school, went to work, church, school, and work, church, school, and work, church, school, and work. And I started thinking, boy, is this all it is to life? I mean, I'm just 21 right now. And church, school, and work, church, school, and work. My goodness, it's going to be 65 before I can retire. Church, school, and work, church, school, and work. It's got to be more to this. Church, school, and work, church, school, and work. And then God called me. And I answered the call of Almighty God. And now it's something to my life. It's more than just church, school, and work. Now I got an exciting life. All because I answered the call in Jesus Christ. And now I'm fulfilling my purpose. God created you to do something that only you can do. And you need to go on and answer your call. You need to get out of doubtfulness and fearfulness and take a step of faithfulness and answer your call. Purpose. When Jesus is in the panic room, there's peace, there's purpose, but number three, there's power. There's power. Oh, when Jesus is in the panic room, I'm coming out the Bible, y'all. Verse 22 and 23, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. These disciples, they needed power. How many of you know that when you are worried about things in life, worry has a way of zapping you? Worry and fear has a way of just sucking all of the strength out of you. Somebody say that worry and fear is just like a rocking chair. You use a lot of energy, but you don't go nowhere. It zaps you. It zaps you. What these disciples needed, they needed some power. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus showed up in that panic room, the Bible says Jesus, he breathed on them. Oh, the King James really didn't do justice to that word breathe. You know what that, basically what he did, he blowed on them. You ain't with it yet, but I got something for you to get with it. Coming from his spirit. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus did this, he really showed who he was. He was just not a good man. He was just not a good prophet. He was just not a holy man of God. But Jesus is showing that he's God himself. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I know I got some Bible scholars here that remember the story of Adam. When God first created Adam, the Bible says he stooped down and he made himself a man out of the dust of the earth. And he laid him all out. But he was a dead man. Bible says God came there and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man that was laying there in the image of death, the Bible says he woke up. He was able to stand on his own feet. All because the breath of life. Oh, I know I'm right. I got to be patient with me because we got to work through the Bible a little bit this morning. Let me call up Ezekiel this morning. Because God told Ezekiel, the prophet, go and I want you to preach to a valley of dry bones. And he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, only you know, Lord. He said, what I need you to do, I just need you to preach to that valley of dry bones. Ezekiel started preaching to the valley of dry bones. He started preaching, and as everyone started preaching, something started happening. There was a rattling noise. And the Bible said the bones started getting together, bone by bone. Oh, can't you imagine? You know, the old preachers would say the foot bone got connected with the ankle bone. And the ankle bone got connected with the leg bone. And the leg bone got connected with the knee bone. And the knee bone got connected with the thigh bone. And the thigh bone got connected with the hip bone. And the hip bone got connected with the spine bone. And the spine bone got connected with the rib bone. And the rib bone got connected with the shoulder bone. And the shoulder bone got connected with the neck bone. And the neck bone got connected with the skull. And the Bible said the skin began to cover those bodies. But they were still dead. And God said, Ezekiel, I need you to keep preaching. But this time I want you to prophesy to the wind. And tell the wind to come on down from here and get in these bodies. And he started preaching to the wind, prophesying to the wind. And he told the wind to come on down here, wind. And the wind came and got in those bodies. And those dead bodies became living bodies. They became a living soul. And the Bible says they was able to stand on their own two feet. All because somebody had breathed on them. Somebody say, do God still work like that today? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw it happen just a couple of weeks ago in the NCAA basketball championship. I saw it happen. Connecticut was doing real good that first half. They had just about blown Kentucky away. They had about a 15-point lead. But all of a sudden, Kentucky started coming back on them. All of a sudden, UConn started throwing away the ball. Kentucky would steal the ball, go down there, boop. Kentucky would get the ball back, go down there, boop. UConn would come down, miss. Kentucky would get the ball back, lay it up. Oh, man, it looked like Kentucky was getting ready to run on way with this game here. But they had cut it down to 35 to 32 halftime. They went in, Kentucky went in with all the excitement. They was bouncing on the toes. UConn went in flat-footed. They was at the point of panicking. That locker room was now the panic room. They had had that big old lead, and Kentucky had put the gas on, and they was catching them. The reporter came to him, asked the coach, say, Coach, what do you think You had this big lead, but now you no longer got this big lead. The coach started telling them, yeah, you know, we made a couple of turnovers and we missed a couple of key shots. And so now it's back to a real game now. He said, well, Kentucky is a great second half team. He looked at her and says, UConn is a great second half team. He said, but Kentucky got some players and they normally get hot in the second half. How you gonna handle that? He said, whatever they got, we can match it. And he walked away with confidence to that locker room. I jumped up and I ran to try to find my wife. I said, ooh, wee baby, you should have seen that coach for UConn. You know, that guy is a Christian. That guy, ooh, I wish I could be in that room there. Something happened at halftime in that room. Something happened. When UConn came out that second half, they didn't panic. Every time Kentucky came back, they stabilized. They was making all their free throws. They went to the free throw 10 times, made all 10 of them. Why they didn't rattle? Why they didn't panic? It's a mystery to a lot of people. Why they didn't panic? They should have panicked. Can I tell you why they didn't panic? Because they had a born-again coach that stood up in the middle of that panic room. And guess what he did? He breathed new life into them. See, whatever kind of spirit you got, that's the kind of spirit that you're going to. If you got a doubtful spirit, you're going to infect people with that old spirit of doubt. You're going to. If you got a fearful spirit, you're going to come with a lot of fear. But if you got a spirit of faith, if you are born again, and you know who Jesus Christ is, and you know if God be for me, I don't care who is against me, you can breathe on people. And that's how they was able to win that game. Kentucky had a better team, but UConn had a born-again coach. Listen, let me just say this and I'm done. Listen, the devil is going around bragging about his team. I'm not going to argue with his about whether he got the best team. But I know one thing without a shadow of doubt. We got the best coach who got the best spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that regardless what's happening in our life, we don't have to panic because Jesus is in the midst of our panic room. And he can stabilize us, keep us from losing our minds. When everybody else losing their mind, we don't have to lose ours. All because we got the best coach. You got the best spirit. Now breathe on your people this morning. Breathe new life into them. We'll be careful to praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.